I invite you to stand for our gospel lesson from Mark chapter 10. This is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were bringing children to Jesus that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me, do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise be to you. While we are standing still, I'd like to offer our scripture lesson for the sermon from Matthew chapter 28. Beginning in verse 16, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Thus far the reading of God's Word, and all of God's people said, Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, bore out our ears and enliven our feet and our hands to respond according to your pleasure. We are your disciples. Continue to shape us, even as we shape the disciples that you have placed around us. Grant that we hear your voice. Spirit of God, that we be responsive to your conviction. We pray this for the honor of your name and the health of the church. And we do so through Jesus, our mediator. Amen. You may be seated. Recently, I've been reflecting upon, well, I do this all the time. I reflect upon this flock. I think about you. And I know you think about each other. We think of each other. Recently, I've been reflecting upon this flock and our Lord's mercies upon us, upon the wives and the mothers, upon the children, upon the families of this congregation. We together shared recently a generous providence that our Lord granted three births in the same week. I look forward to meeting Thea and holding her. A girl was born. Oliver, what a beautiful boy. Ezra, another beautiful Sartor child. One is a second born. The other is a firstborn, and Ezra's fourth. Each of these children beautiful. And yes, I looked at Thea last Sunday, peered. Each of these mothers filled with joy and joyously preserved. Each of the daddies changed, and more change to come, and they will be changing diapers. Baptism. Discussions about baptism are common, questions are frequent, and because of this, I thought to pastorally pause and to offer some baptism reflections, some pastoral reflections on baptism, friendly, family-style, reflective, Cracker Barrel-style reflections. There are some who have grown up in the faith, in a faith that witnessed covenant baptism. And they never really put much thought into or sorted out the whole baptism practice, especially when it comes to infant baptism or covenant baptism. It's what they've known. And some want to fault that. There is a beauty in it as well. You've grown up in your families. It's what you know. It's good to know why you know what you know. I grew up in a Baptist church. I love my heritage. I love my upbringing. I am still friends with the widow of my childhood pastor. I was baptized by immersion 3 times. I was initially licensed for the gospel ministry in the Southern Baptist Church back in 1981, August of 1981. I remember the passage from the Proverbs that was preached on that night. And yes, went to Bible college, a Southern Baptist Bible college, and had pastoral administration classes. One class dealt with the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper. In that class, we went to the First Southern Baptist Church right next to the campus, and we had what we called baptism practice because we were immersing. Baptism was by immersion. We immersed each other. Those were not baptisms, and I don't know how many times that happened. Over the years, getting to know many families, getting to know many children, some of whom, when they were baptized, I could see the tops of their heads, or I could hold them, and now they're... Seeing many children, many adults, I've even heard of some who were baptized and then walked away from the faith. Not just in the Reformed churches, but in the Baptist churches as well. I had never thought that simply because someone was made wet in the church, that that person was automatically and eternally in. But baptism is given to the church, and it doesn't mean we should dismiss it or consider it low or light or paltry. Now, we could debate about, and many do, about the reality of baptism actually occurring in the triune name, and then what happened to that person? We could debate about it, or we could be humbled and pray. The moment you meet one mother or father whose child brought up in the covenant, baptized, and then wobbles and wanders, and you speak to those parents, you will not become a debater. You will likely become a weeper and a prayer. Some don't baptize infants because they say rightly there's not a single wet baby in the entire Bible. That's correct. I get that, and I applaud the desires of our brothers and sisters in other Trinitarian Christian traditions to do all things biblically. Wonderful. They are concerned that our children would be baptized and then not own the faith. And so are we. So are we. When I was in the Baptist church, I would see teenagers getting baptized and then walking away from the faith. Truth be told, there's not a single teenager getting baptized in the Bible. That's not the point. A couple of things. Was the view of that walking away, that snapshot view, was that all that was going to be said in that person's life? And we have a tendency to flip through the photos on our phone and say, hey, take a look at this, take a look at this. Or in the old days, a photo album, photo album, photo album. Well, we see that. What was the Lord doing? Would the Lord be true to His promises? Always. Many drawn back. But the concerns are the same. No matter how much water is used and when it is applied, the concerns are the same. We long to see those who are baptized being faithful to the Lord because the Lord will always keep His word. That's the ultimate concern for us, for those of us who bear the triune name, is for ongoing faithfulness. we could happily discuss the recipients of baptism. Who or whom? Who should be baptized? When should they be baptized? We could happily and cheerfully discuss the mode of baptism. How much water? And how do we do it? Do we pour? Do we sprinkle? Do we immerse? I have convictions, biblically based convictions. But ultimately, when it comes down to it, I'd rather have my children, and you'd rather have your children, walk faithfully for their entire lives. It doesn't mean that those questions don't matter. They do. Everything we do, we ought to do according to the shape and the structure of Scripture. All the while acknowledging that my understanding is not ultimate in this. I do not have the immaculate perception, but we will go to the Scriptures. Oh, there's much that can be said and many stories that can be told, especially when a pastor begins reflecting. There are many misunderstandings that are sprinkled or poured out or in which we are immersed when this subject is present. However, let us boil it down to this. We are baptized. We are marked as the people of God. And it is one of the wonderful blessings of being a pastor, of being a minister of the Word and Sacrament, to be able to participate, to share in the means of grace, the signs of the covenant with you. Baptism didn't work because Pastor Neil did it. Baptism is the Lord's sign. He gave it. He defines it. First of all, baptism is His testimony. So today, a brief pastoral reflection on baptism and disciples. We baptize disciples. Brief. Disciples. What are disciples? They are followers. They are students. They are learners. Mathetes is what it is in the Greek New Testament. Related to manthano, which means I learn. They are learners. They are enrolled and they are being shaped. They are being conformed and they are being transformed. Disciples are. That's who you are. That's who we are. We are disciples. You are disciples. Discipleship is what happens. So there is what is true of you, disciple, and then there is what's supposed to be true of all disciples. You are in the process of growing and learning, and sometimes it's through great difficulties, sometimes it's through another disciple doing something that... Discipleship. By the way, something about discipleship, it's true of everyone. Discipleship has this in common with tithing. Everyone is a disciple, and everyone tithes. People are going, what? Everyone is a disciple. Everyone is shaped by or being shaped by something. Everyone follows something or someone. Everyone is a disciple of someone. The question is, of whom or of what are you, we, disciples? Baptism tells us of whom we are disciples. Tithing. Everyone tithes. Everyone tithes. Everyone gives a tenth. The only question is to whom or to what. Some people give a tithe to whatever they want. That says something about their heartbeat. In the Christian faith, discipleship, the process of living and growing as a disciple formally begins with baptism. In our text today, I just read it from Matthew 28, 16 through 20, the third prominent mountain in Matthew's gospel, the mountain of the instruction, the mountain of God's glory and the transfiguration, and this final mountain of commissioning. The Lord Jesus appoints that mountain and says, "Meet me there after my resurrection. I've got a commission for you." And then Jesus expresses His authority. I have all authority. Pick the place, heaven and on earth. Go and do this. Go and do this. Do what? Make disciples of all nations. Okay, then what? As disciples are made, then what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What's next? Teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And by the way, I'm with you always. Even to the very end. To the end of this age, to the end of your life, I'm with you always. To be a disciple of Jesus Christ starts with baptism. It's to be a lifelong learner of Christ, to learn everything Christ has taught. You know, so often we'll think, you know what, I'm doing pretty well. We're done. Christian disciples are enrolled in the course of Christ. Oh, we've heard this so many times. The Hebrew word shema, listen, hear, Israel. But listen again. Our Old Testament reading today. This is the commandment, and these are the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, so that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess. What we're going to hear about this is that the life of the Old Covenant saint was one of ongoing instruction, ongoing learning. What has the Lord said? Oh, I should do that. What does the Lord say about where I'm going? I ought to be aware of that. Oh, and by the way, everywhere. When you're in the home, every place of the home. These words are given so that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you and your son and your grandson all the days of your life, so that your days might be prolonged. This involves how you speak to your children, how you train your son, your daughter, your grandson, your granddaughter. Therefore, hear, O Israel. And remember, hearing in the Bible is not simply, oh, that went into the holes on the side of my head. Hearing is, yes, Lord, speak, your servant hears, and I shall do this. Hear, O Israel, hear, people of God, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, right into the land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, shema. Shema is the Hebrew word. Listen. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Let's start there. He's in charge of it all, and he begins. He is the one. You shall love the Lord your God with every fiber of your being, with your heart, your soul, with all your strength. What are my passions? Who am I? What am I doing? And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. And you shall teach them diligently, because it's hard work. Parents, you know this. You shall teach them diligently to your children. We can easily teach lazily. We can easily teach and get tired and just close the book and shut down the lesson and turn off the lights and have crackers. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them. Where? When you sit down in the house. When you walk, by the way, maybe out in the backyard, out to the garden. And when you lie down, may the Lord bless you and keep you. Sleep well, sweetheart. Look forward to seeing you in the morning. Hasn't the Lord been good today? And when you rise up, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, whatever you put your hand to do. And they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. What are you looking at? Where are you going? You shall write them on the doorpost of your house. As for me and my house, this house, this place, we're going to serve the Lord. Oh, by the way, there's a warning. Didn't read it in our Old Testament reading today, but I'm going to mention this. The passage goes on. It's an ongoing daily discipleship. It's work. But there's a warning. You're getting ready to go into the land. You know what you're going to encounter, disciples? Hear, shema. You'll have received all this great teaching, this diligent teaching about who the Lord is and what he has done. You're going to go into this land with all the Lord's provision all around you. And you know what your temptation is going to be? And it's my heartbreak for our children and our children's children. It's dullness, forgetfulness. Oh, sometimes it's looking at the parents. Oh, I can do things better than my parents. Oh, there's the warning. Beware, verse 12, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Beware. Watch out. So in discipleship, there's this wonderful enveloping teaching on everything and every part of life, on who the Lord is and what He has provided. But there's a warning. We may get sloppy and lazy and forget. Forgetfulness is a sin. Same thing is mentioned in the New Covenant, by the way, in Ephesians chapter 6. Note this, it's wonderful. Discipleship begins, the Lord claims His own, and you know what? Children are even addressed in the church. Ephesians chapter 6 says, children, children. This allows me sometimes, it's not a children's sermon, but in a sermon I can address children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right, so that you do not have a diet of death. This is what the Lord taught long ago. Honor your father and mother, so that the days that the Lord gives you will be long and prolonged in the land that the Lord is giving you. Oh, by the way, children, when you learn this as a young child, obey your parents and the Lord. It's easier when you're older to deal with that tough stuff of how do I honor my parents? It's a daily discipleship. If I can obey my parents now as a little one, it's going to be quite a bit easier to honor them later on. Fathers, in your discipleship, you have this tendency to go, I want things to be done this way, I want things to be done this way. Be careful that you don't exasperate your children and pump them up to anger and wrath. It's ongoing training in all things, at home and in the church. It's a brief exhortation, a brief pastoral reflection, but I'd like to share two other comments on this, and then some final questions. At home. This discipleship occurs at home. Recently, I was reading something about the domestic home duties by G.K. Chesterton. He was speaking about the learning and the training and the discipleship which occurs in the home. Chesterton was concerned that some think that the training and the teaching and the discipleship which occurs in the home to be a small, insignificant thing. He argued that the training which occurs in the home is actually mighty. It's weighty. It's larger rather than smaller. The teaching, and he mentioned particularly the teaching from the mother, who is surrounded by very young children, is, what's the teaching? He says, it's not so much teaching anything as teaching everything. Babies, he said, need not be taught a trade, but to be introduced to a world. Disciples, children, come from the home in a particular way. They go out and they go forth and they reveal the home. Spend time with the child. You can sometimes even smell what kind of detergent they use in the home. Children reveal the home. They speak and think and act in ways peculiar to the home because they've been discipled, they're shaped, they're conformed to the image of the home. They often share a verbal cadence with others in the home, phraseology common in the home, and understandings picked up in the home. The use of time and the treatment of others is discipled in the home. Conduct at meals, self-control, personal discipline, responsiveness to father or mother, trained in the home, at table, on the couch, while mowing the lawn. Awareness of others is taught in the home. The child enters the home, the child is given to the home and is discipled there. This happens in the home. Every step of the way. It happens in the church as well. Right here. It's happening right now. The discipleship continues here, the place of baptism where the discipleship began. And what do children learn? They learn their place before Almighty God. They learn of mystery and wonder. They learn of words that challenge them and call them up rather than bring them down. They learn of majesty and wonder and mystery and grace. They learn it here. They learn of who they are and that they are not the Creator. They learn that there's a claim upon them and that they are to follow. They learn what they owe. and they learn how to deal with obligations. Here they are taught of others. Here they learn that the family is large-er. My family is great, and I've been blessed with my family, but look at this family, the family of God. And here they are taught. Actually, they express what is taught in the home. And what they are taught here ought to be brought and taught in the home. Oh, there are others. That's something else that they're taught. They learn this at home. Your brother is not you, he's other. Your sister is not you, she's other, and we treat them accordingly. But here, look at all those brothers and sisters. And so sometimes even here, we'll have to give words. You know what? We're not going to play around back there. Okay. I learn it's not all about me. We learn about others that are different. They are to be loved and given grace. And we learn how to control ourselves. And moms and dads, I see it. Pastoral reflection, you're laboring. I see it. I loved what I saw last Lord's Day. A couple of moms went and helped and served. Beautiful. Sometimes somebody will listen to the sermon on tape. Notice, I dated myself. Tape. On reel to reel. a digital recording. And they'll go, what happened? There's a long gap there. I said, well, actually, people were helping someone else. And I saw it. It was beautiful to be. I see moms and dads struggling, and I see some that should struggle more. I see moms and dads and brothers and sisters loving each other, and some that need to love each other more. Some that aren't sure how to train and disciple. We all need to work on that. We are disciples. We are to be disciplined. It's beautiful to behold. And some wonder, how can you keep going when you see that? I go, yeah, I see some curious things here. I won't preach on that. That'll be a Bible study. The work of shaping disciples is work. It's work. So let's conclude. Brief pastoral reflections. What's to become of us? What's to become of you? Will we continue to follow Jesus? We are baptized in the triune name. To whom do we belong? We belong to the triune God. His name is upon us. So I will end with these four statements. But they all will be wrapped in this. I trust the Lord, who has ordained the end from the beginning, and who in his wondrous grace entered and chose, and he is powerful. I'm concerned. Others are concerned. Your parents are deeply concerned. And I long for you to be concerned. Because you bear the name of the Lord. Pastoral reflections, baptism and discipleship. Heavenly Father, cause your word to sink deeply and to bear wondrous fruit. O Lord, you have promised to give us all things pertaining to life and godliness. May we look to you as the eyes of a servant to the master and the eyes of a maid to the mistress. We thank you for your provision. Spirit of God, convict and encourage and beautify this flock. And I pray this all in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen.